Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
205 on Supertalk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandis Show. Well, Tennessee really got thrown into the spotlight even more than usual with quite a big announcement the last couple of days here. Phil Bredesen, former governor, of course, and former mayor of Nashville as well, deciding that he is going to run against, well, ultimately it'll be him versus Marsha Blackburn, as we decide here in Tennessee who we're going to vote for to replace Bob Corker. So let's listen to, and you probably heard this probably in its entirety the last couple of days, but I wanted to chime in as well. I want to play his entire announcement, and you can find this anywhere on the web. This is Phil Bredesen, and he is announcing that he is running to replace Bob Corker. Clearly, I think this is either a brilliant move, and I was talking to somebody earlier today. This is either a brilliant move or actually a sign of desperation. Now, here's what I mean by that. It's a brilliant move because Phil Bredesen is a guy who, y'all know the statistics. You know that he carried every single county the last time he ran in an election. However, you also know that that was many years ago. And not only has Tennessee changed, but also Washington, D.C. has changed. So on the one hand, you could say that this is a brilliant move by state Democrats in recruiting Phil Bredesen to run for the seat that is going to be vacated by Bob Corker. But you could also say that it could be a sign of desperation. And the reason why I say that is because of the fact that if you have to go back that far to find someone who could actually beat Marsha Blackburn, well, then that could also be an indication and a sign of desperation. So let's hear what Phil Bredesen has to say. Go ahead, Bell, play the audio. Sounds good so far. I'm reasonably certain he had more to say than that. You know,
a lot of people think Phil Bredesen sounds like.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Pamela, do you have? Yes, this is what happens. I'm losing my voice, and then Phil Bredesen loses his.
Let's see if I can.
Do you have it, Pamela? For the love of Pete, somebody.
Hang on.
Yeah, I want to play it in its entirety. Belle, should we entertain the audience by telling them exactly what happened from a technical standpoint?
Yeah, I'm going to have to reboot the computer because it only has one audio card, and apparently that audio card has decided it likes a different program better.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Or maybe this is it. Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm Phil Bredesen.
Hello.
I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I want to tell you why. We all know Washington is broken, but while politicians are up there playing partisan games and working on their re-election.
Yep.
He sounds like he's doing a Smucker's jelly commercial. Oh, I'm not saying anything negative. I'm just saying if the whole, you know, running for Corker seat doesn't work out, he could do a job for the Smucker's jelly commercials. Anyway, can we start that again? I'm sorry. Can we do that from the beginning again?
Yeah.
I'm Phil Bredesen. I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I want to tell you why. We all know Washington is broken.
Yes.
While politicians are up there playing partisan games and working on their reelection, out here in America, back here in Tennessee, we have some real problems. Our economy isn't working for too many people who work hard but can't get ahead and haven't been able to for many years now. Too many people can't afford health insurance. The Affordable Care Act needs fixing.
Well,
the opioid crisis kills more Tennesseans every year than auto accidents. And when it comes to finances, Congress has just lost its way. It's immoral the way they keep borrowing money with no end in sight. And it's a sad legacy for our children and our grandchildren. It's a mess, but it can be fixed. I'm running for the Senate because I have the right kind of experience and the actual track record that it will take to start working across party lines to fix the mess in Washington.
So hold on one second, Pamela, if you could. So he wants to reach across party lines. Now, he is a Democrat, right? I mean, I know this is something he was a governor way, been mayor way before I came to Nashville.
Right,
but he is
mayor
a Democrat,
of Nashville,
right?
And yeah. Governor of Tennessee, correct.
So does he understand that his party has literally become the party of no when it comes to anything that the president is trying to do? So, for example, the president has been trying to repeal, replace, or do something with Obamacare. And the Democrats absolutely refused, and the Republicans, by the way, absolutely refused to allow the president to do that. Of course, John McCain helped in that sense. We also know that the president wants to curb spending. We know that the president wants to do a number of different things to fix a lot of the problems that we see here in America today. And his party, Phil Bredesen's party, they have been basically the resistance. And so I guess when I hear Phil Bredesen say, well, listen, you're going to reach across party lines. You have a lot of issues within your own party, and your own party is not reaching across party lines at all. The only thing that they're trying to do is they're trying to impeach President Trump and try and make sure that nothing that he wants to accomplish gets accomplished. So I understand what he's trying to say, but okay, so people then would vote for Phil Bredesen instead of Marsha Blackburn, and then he's going to get into office, and then, you know, he's going to be supportive of Chuck Schumer? Is that what I'm understanding here? So, okay, what else did he say?
To fix the mess in Washington and bring common sense back to our government. Before I ran for office, I was a businessman. I was the CEO of a successful public company listed on the New York Stock Exchange,
yeah.
One that I started on my kitchen table and grew to 6,000 employees.
That is impressive.
I was a successful mayor, lots of new jobs,
yep.
Revitalized downtown, the Nashville Predators, the Tennessee Titans. When I was sworn in as governor, 10-care was out of control and our bond rating was headed south. And then we had the meltdown of the Great Recession. With a lot of hard choices, we managed our way through all of that without an income tax and without raising the sales tax. And we didn't just get through it, we prospered. We put new money in education, especially in teacher salaries. We brought in new jobs and investment.
Right.
Our rainy day fund hit new highs and we achieved a AAA bond rating, the best there is. There's no reason Congress and the president can't do the same thing. I love the people of our state of Tennessee, and
we need and deserve something. Did he say there's no reason why Congress can't do the same thing?
Yep.
Apparently, he's not been paying attention to what Congress has been doing in the past couple of years, because there's many reasons why Congress can't do the same thing. It's because they're full of morons. I mean, he said it right in the beginning. While Congress is worried about their reelection campaigns and so forth, and, well, I would say to Mr. Bredesen, and I'm sure he's a wonderful person, and I know this is a guy who is very much liked here in Tennessee. I know that a lot of folks like him, and all I'm doing is I'm answering some of the things that he's saying in his announcement. I would also say that when you look at the fact that being a governor is far different than being a senator, for example, because when you're a governor, you're running a state, and it's different than being somebody who is running the business of the United States, and you're talking about things like illegal immigration, you're talking about, tax reforms and all these other things that Congress has been dealing with over the past obviously for many, many years now, and I think they've been handling it ineptly. So I guess the question is, if you're trying to convince a Republican not to vote for Marsha Blackburn and to vote for Phil Bredesen instead, I would be willing to bet, and again, I wasn't here when Mr. Bredesen was governor. I certainly wasn't here when he was mayor of Nashville. And I've done some looking into some of his accomplishments, and he did an awful lot. I mean, he really did. I think he was, as far as I can tell, he was, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pamela, he was a very good governor. And he was a very good mayor of Nashville. I mean, is he really the guy that brought the Preds here and the Titans here? I can't imagine.
He was. And keep in mind, when the Titans were brought here, we didn't have our stadium.
Right.
So it depends on how you look at it. I mean, look at the spoils after all of it. We've made a lot of money. The team went to the Super Bowl, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But our taxes went up a little bit to pay for that stadium. We pay for that stadium.
Right.
So depends on how you look at it. Some people, you know, still curse the day that happened. But
yeah, well, and let me tell you,
brought a lot of economy here. So I mean, it's brought a lot of people downtown. Broadway was not like it you know, he revitalized that area because of the Titans and the Predators.
I've lived in towns. Listen, I've lived in towns where nobody wants to revitalize anything, and nobody wants to spend any tax dollars for anything. And so when that happens, then ultimately the revitalization doesn't happen. And then when the revitalization doesn't happen, then what happens is ultimately your city dies at the core. And I'm not saying that's what would have happened here, but what I am saying is that there are times when, yes, you have to spend taxpayer dollars. I don't like it any more than anybody else does. And for me, it's a case-by-case basis. If you can make the math work and say, okay, well, if we spend X number of tax dollars on whatever it is, then we are going to make an investment and we will get X number of dollars in a return on that investment, then okay, it makes sense. The question is, from a long-term growth standpoint, and the Titans have been here for what, 20?
Been a while now.
Yeah, 20-something years. I believe we've made the money back. I would think so, and I believe if the soccer stadium ends up coming here as well, they will not be playing in the Titans stadium. So, but I think you would be able to say that we have made our money back on the Titans stadium. Ultimately, though, if the Titans and the NFL continue to go down in attendance, and I don't know how the Titans attendance is doing, but if the Titans attendance ends up going down along with a lot of the other NFL teams, maybe you relook at that calculation. But overall, over the past many years, I think it's safe to say that the Titans have been extraordinarily popular here in Nashville. And certainly you can say that the Preds, they are absolutely part of the identity of Nashville, as are the Titans. And so I would say that from what I can see, what he did for Nashville was a good thing. I would say that what he did for, again, from 30,000 feet, I would say that for the most part, what he did in Tennessee was, for the most part, good.
And regardless, though, he is a popular person. He was a popular governor.
Yes.
And he won 95 counties when he ran for governor.
Yep.
That's huge. So
who is he running against? I mean, there's two ways you could look at that.
I want to say it was Van Hillary, but see, you wouldn't know the history of Van Hillary. I think it was Van Hillary.
Yeah, I guess the question is, okay, well, who is he running against? Was there a lot of competition? This is going to be...
Well, Van Hillary was the Republican he was running against.
No, I understand that. This is going to be one of those races, though, where you're looking at somebody who is an extremely popular Republican, which is Marsha Blackburn, and an extremely popular Democrat in Phil Bredesen. Certainly, though, a name from Tennessee's political history, and Marsha Blackburn is certainly somebody who is from the present. And so there's a number of different ways that you could look at this. You could say, you know, past with Phil Bredesen, the president with Marsha Blackburn, you know, the President Trump is going to come to town to more than likely campaign for Marsha Blackburn as well. And so the question is going to be, will Phil Bredesen be able to bring moderates, independents, and frankly, some Republicans who are not real happy with the way things have been going over to his side? And is Phil Bredesen a guy who is, as you say, and it's true, popular enough to bring over those people who are not real happy with the way the Republicans have been running things thus far, will he be able to bring them over to his side? And then do those people understand that the second that Bredesen gets into office, he is going to become part of the party of, frankly, no, which is what I started out the segment saying, which is, frankly, the Democrats have been nothing but wanting to do anything they can to make sure that anything that the president has been trying to get done does not get done. Because we know that the Democrats, their rallying cry has been impeach, impeach, impeach. Now, I was gone the last couple of days, and what, 58 Democrats came out and they voted for President Trump to be impeached. Obviously, it's an epic failure. However, that's the party that Phil Bredesen will be joining. And so if people decide to vote for him, then ultimately they are voting for Nancy Pelosi. They are voting for Chuck Schumer. So that's going to be the decision that people have to make, is with Phil Bredesen ultimately. And I think this is how the Republicans will have to campaign against him. This is how Marsha Blackburn will have to campaign against him. A vote for Phil Bredesen ultimately is a vote for Chuck Schumer. I mean, I think that's reasonable, would you say, Pamela? Or is there any more?
Sounds reasonable to me.
Yeah. But I don't think that you can call this guy a bleeding heart liberal. I don't think that you can say that this guy is a...
He's a fiscal conservative.
He's a fiscal conservative, yeah. But that's why you can't attack Bredesen as somebody, because I've already seen some folks say that, oh, he's just a liberal. Well, no, he's a fiscal conservative, and he did do a lot of good for Tennessee when he was governor way back when. So if you're going to be truth in advertising, no, you can't say that he's a loony liberal or an Obama-loving liberal. What you can say is that if you vote for him, he is joining the party that is trying to essentially, one, impeach President Trump, and also they're doing everything they can to thwart all of the things that we voted President Trump into office for. And so, again, a vote for Bredesen would be a vote for, you know, open borders and refugee programs not in place and all the things we talk about all the time.
Let me just say this. You're saying he was governor way back when. You understand it was just right before Bill Haslam.
2003, 2011, yes.
Yeah. So yeah. It wasn't that long ago. So yeah. We're still seeing the fruits of his labor, good or bad.
Yep, very good. So we'll have to wait and see. But I'll tell you what, though. My interest level in this governor's race is sky high.
You mean Senate race?
I'm sorry, Senate race. Yeah. Why do I keep doing that?
Because he's a governor.
I know, yeah, I know, why. I know. And I've still got the fog of the influenza A that I had. Anyway, so we'll have to see what happens with Phil Bredesen. And Bill, I'll take some calls on this. I'm sure you took some calls on this
I did.
Last couple of days. So.
Just a few.
Yeah, did you? All right.
Just a few.
Oh, okay. 615-737-WWTN. We'll return next on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandy Show.
The Justice Department is reviewing Planned Parenthood's fetal tissues practices. The story is coming up at 2:30 on WTN.
227 Super Talk 99.7 WTN. I want to blow through some of these calls very quickly. Gary is in Lebanon and on WTN. Hey, Gary, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
I'd like to remind everybody and give everyone the opportunity to Google a picture of when Obama signed the Affordable Care Act. There's a whole bunch of people in the background, and Phil Bredesen is one of them. And I'm telling you that yes, he did a lot for everybody. He really did. I'm a native Tennessean, sure. And he did have incredible backing. But I tell you, here in Lebanon, we're backing Pody to take Marsha Blackburn's spot, and I think we're pretty much backing Marsha Blackburn.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate the call. You know, I think that Washington, D.C., it has this tendency to change people's character. And I've actually seen this firsthand, and maybe I'll talk a little bit about this when I come back. Washington, D.C. has a tendency to change somebody's character, change somebody's DNA, in the sense that they get to Washington, D.C., and they do things that you would never, ever suspect or expect them to do. And in the case of Phil Bredesen, this is, again, a guy who is extremely popular here in Tennessee. But let's also not forget that by running, he's joining the resistance. Because the Democrats, they are the resistance. Let's see what very quickly Stacy has to say on WTN. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing good. Go ahead, Stacy.
Hope you're feeling better from the flu. I just wanted to say that one of the I'm not terribly excited about this because Phil Bredesen is very popular, and Marsha Blackburn, while she does have a good following, you know, she talks more conservative than she acts sometimes. And those of us who pay attention know that.
Right.
And Phil Bredesen can claim, he can make the claim that he's fiscally conservative. But if you really look at folks who say things like, well, I'm socially liberal but fiscally conservative, that's really an oxymoron. You can't be both at the same time. Because if you believe that something needs some sort of government program or somebody needs a new stadium or somebody needs something that requires the expenditure of tax dollars, mm-hmm. then you're no longer fiscally conservative. So you really have to look at, is he fiscally conservative or is that just something he claims and people buy it because they don't know any better?
Well, Stacey, it's sort of like the term deficit hawk, right? A lot of these guys
right.
claim that they're deficit hawks. It's like, really? Because have you seen the deficit? Seems to me we don't have enough hawks. Anyway, it's 2:30 on Super Talk at 99.7 WTN. I got some phones ringing. We'll take some more Bredesen calls if folks want to call in. 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Yeah, but slightly a bit of a disadvantage with the whole Bredesen conversation, only because I wasn't here at the time that he was governor from 2003 to 2011, and I wasn't here certainly when he was the mayor of Nashville. But I think that this race for Bob Corker's Senate seat, I think it got a lot more interesting. Here's the question, and it goes by with what Stacey was talking about, where a lot of people say that Marsha Blackburn is not nearly as conservative as they may like. Well, certainly Phil Bredesen is not going to be nearly as conservative as you want him to be. So if the decision for a Republican anyway is between Marsha Blackburn and Phil Bredesen, well, Blackburn's going to be more conservative than Bredesen any day of the week. Now, the question is going to be, ultimately, Bredesen can say anything that he wants to say, but ultimately, the more seats that we hand the Democrats as far as the Senate goes, well, then the more power Chuck Schumer has. And that means that you are giving more and more power to the resistance. 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. 238 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandy Show, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Take some calls from folks asking for your opinion. I, of course, am not a native Tennessean, so I was not around when Phil Bredesen was governor from 2003 to 2011, and nor when he was mayor of Nashville before that. And so I've given my two cents on what I think about Phil Bredesen deciding to run for governor. Guy, Jiminy Crickets, run for Bob Corker's seat. I don't know why I keep doing that. It's driving me nuts. He's running for Bob Corker's seat as the former governor, a guy who was obviously very popular here in Tennessee. And, you know, it is interesting. As long as he's got a D next to his name, then no matter what he runs on, you know that ultimately he will fall as part of the resistance if we here in Tennessee allow him to capture that seat held by the Republican Bob Corker. But I ask for your opinion. 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Lee is in Nashville and is on WTN.
Hello, Dan. So I'm a born and raised in Nashville, downtown Nashville kid, actually. I voted for Bredesen each time he was a mayor, and I voted for him each time as a governor. It was very popular. But in the non-national political arena, he was allowed to speak his own mind and do his own thing. I think as he's a Democrat, I can never vote for him, because once he becomes part of that, it's almost cult-like. They control his vote. He can go on the talk shows and say all he wants, but when it comes time to vote for something, he'll be told how to vote, and he'll have no voice, which means we'll have no voice.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Lee, and I appreciate the call very much. And that is the problem, isn't it? I mean, that is it in a nutshell, is when you give up a Senate seat or you give up a seat in the House, then ultimately you are giving up, and I hate to make it sound so trite, but you are giving up a seat at the table, either a D or an R. And so that is incredibly important, especially in these times where you have a party like the Democrats that is so incredibly controlled from the top down. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi on down. Rachel is in Chapel Hill on WTN. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Dan. I don't think I can. I thought to add to that, but I don't think I can add to that anymore. I mean, everybody said everything. I voted for him back in the day, but not today. No way. He's a Democrat. He's a liberal, and that says it all.
I think. Could you also say, Rachel, are you a Republican or a Democrat?
I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. Yes.
So would you also say that the political climate has changed since Phil Bredesen was governor of the great state of Tennessee?
Maybe not in Nashville, but nationally, yes.
Okay. Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate it. I think there's something to be said for that. I think, and I may have mentioned this when I monologued on this in the previous segment. I do think that when Phil Bredesen was governor, politics, again, especially nationally, it was in a different place now. And I think that with President Trump now, the kind of campaign we've had and the kind of campaigns that we had, not only in the primary, but also in the general election, and then the reaction from the Democrats and certainly the liberals, but also the Democrats to the victory of President Trump and the loss of Hillary Clinton and their reaction to that, I think that has done more to poison the climate of bipartisanship in America than ever before. And so when a guy like Phil Bredesen comes along and he's running for a Senate to replace Bob Corker, you know, he comes along and he sounds very sincere and he's saying the right thing. And he sounds like the Smucker's jelly guy. And he, with all due respect, I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, but you can't escape the fact that politics on a national level has explicitly changed since President Trump won. All of our political lives and all of our lives changed dramatically on that day, November 9th, when we found out that President Trump won the election. And so the resistance, as the Democrat Party is continuing to call themselves, the resistance continues to do what they're doing in trying to thwart anything and everything that we voted on. And so Phil Bredesen, as much as a lot of folks like this guy, and listen, he seems like a good guy to me, I don't know if you can necessarily trust his past performance to dictate what he's going to do in the future. Because what he's going to do in the future will not be the decision of Phil Bredesen. No, it'll be the decision of Chuck Schumer. And I think that's an important thing to note when you're deciding who you're going to vote for between Marsha Blackburn or Mr. Bredesen. With all due respect to him, and it's an awkward position for me to be in because, you know, I wasn't here at the time, but I do think that it is a legitimate conversation. It's almost like, and I hate to say this, but it's almost like, are we at the point now because of the state of politics today where you are simply voting for the D versus the R? Is that where we are today? Now, we'll have to wait and see. I don't know what Phil Bredesen's positions are or his policies are going to be on things like immigration, on things like the opioid crisis, on things like Obamacare. You know, he said, well, Obamacare needs to be fixed. Well, it certainly does need to be fixed. Absolutely. It needs to be repealed and replaced. I don't think that's going to happen. But if you give Bob Corker's Senate seat to Phil Bredesen, it certainly is not going to happen. Now, Jim is in Fairview and is on WTN. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, this is just my personal opinion and an observation I made several years ago. But I met with Bredesen with a group of other people accidentally out in the old Wild Oats supermarket in Green Hills years ago. And I felt like I was talking to the biggest nerd. And it was what we used to call a nerd in high school. Truly walked away from that just shaking my head. And then I found out later on that this guy was a millionaire from Ohio that literally just bought his office, his political office, with his millions of dollars, and had never had any political experience up until that time. Just like our present governor, he bought the office. And that was about the way I felt. Like I just walked away shaking my head in disbelief what I had seen and heard.
All right, Jim, I appreciate it. Well, I can't speak to Phil Bredesen being a nerd, and I don't think being a nerd actually disqualifies anyone from being a senator or a governor or anything else. Don't make me laugh. My lung's going to go in the opposite direction like it's been doing all day. No, first of all, I will say that I admire Bredesen for the fact that he was able to, and I've done some reading on how he started his company. I mean, this is a guy who did build his company from the ground up. I think there's a lot to be said for that. I think it ultimately, though, comes down to trust. And do you trust Phil Bredesen to do the right thing once he gets into the swamp? And see what Trevor has to say on the Dan Mendes Show Facebook page. Dan, if Marsha gets elected to the Senate, he says, I believe she will very easily fall under the influence of Lamar Alexander, whom she supported in the last election. She'll be of no use to us all. As your caller just said, she thinks the talk but doesn't always walk the walk. And not saying Bredesen is preferable, but we need someone else as well. And he wraps it up with saying, I hate the flu. Yes, Trevor, I hate the flu as well. Bob is in Hendersonville on WTN. Go ahead, Bob.
Good morning. Congratulations. You've nailed this one, as has your earlier callers. They came up with some really good points. I think for many reasons, the Democratic Party is not Bredesen's Democratic Party of 10, 15 years ago. They've been exposed. Obama has exposed them, and so has the movement for Trump. They are based on hate. They are based on corruption. And what Marsh is going to do is run against the Democratic Party. So congratulations. You nailed that one.
All right. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. Yeah, it is interesting, too. And I hate to sound so distrusting of politicians. And I do realize that at times it does happen. I knew a guy that I come off sounding like this. I knew a guy. Should I say who it was? I will.
Now you have to.
I do, don't I? There was a guy, and Jiminy Crickets, I can't remember what district he was, but Mark Sauter was a guy who was a congressman in the great state of Indiana. Fort Wayne, Indiana, was part of his territory. And he got caught up early on in a sex scandal, and he was forced to step down. And I was in Fort Wayne at the time, and it was one of those moments that I'll never forget because I really respected this guy. I mean, I liked him a lot. And I was disappointed with when he had to step down. But one of the things that he said in subsequent interviews that I did with him and others had done with him as well there in Fort Wayne was he talked about when people go to Washington, D.C., and when people go to the swamp, it does change their character. And it does change, you know, not literally, but figuratively, it changes their DNA because there's so much pressure and they're away from their home and they're away from their constituents. And so oftentimes what happens is they lose focus on what's really important and they lose focus on what their constituents want. And so for Phil Bredesen, I think there's a part of me that there may be people who remember Mr. Bredesen as a great governor and a terrific mayor of Nashville. And then they vote for him and put him into office. And I would cynically say, in place of a Bob Corker against Marsha Blackburn, and I would say that those very people might be very disappointed because Bredesen, very popular, and people remember what he did for the state of Tennessee. But again, you've got to remember he's not running for governor now. He is running for Senate. And a vote for him would be a vote for the resistance. And so you're not voting for a guy to run the state of Tennessee. You're basically giving the Democrats another seat of power. And too many of these seats, we'll have to see what happens on Tuesday in Alabama with Roy Moore. But any more seats of power to the Senate, to the Democrats, and this is going to be extraordinarily difficult for the Senate to get anything done. And we already know it's been an absolute train wreck thus far. So that's going to be the big question that folks here in Tennessee have, which is, and I feel really awkward saying things like what I'm about to say, which is, I wonder, I'm just phrase it this way. I wonder if there's anybody who is disappointed that Mr. Bredesen, a guy who has been very quiet since stepping aside from governor and from the governorship in 2011, and has basically, you know, led a quiet life for the most part, as far as I can tell, disappointed now that this guy who is a fiscally conservative Democrat deciding to jump on board with Chuck Schumer and the Democrats. Because to me, the more that I read about his popularity, the more that I read about how people on both sides of the aisle just absolutely loved this guy, I wonder if there's anybody out there who is disappointed that he would then go from that position of love and adoration here in Tennessee to a position of supporting a party led by Chuck Schumer, who is so absolutely reviled by a lot of the people here in the state of Tennessee. It is just a thought. It's 2:51 on Super Talk
99.7 WTN. I'm getting all this breaking news. I'm Pamela Furr. Uh-oh. We've got a high-ranking Metro Schools administrator who's resigned amid sexual harassment allegations. And then GOP Representative Trent Franks down in Arizona, who said he's going to resign, has now resigned immediately, and his wife has been admitted into the hospital. And now AP is reporting that a former aide says Trent Franks offered her $5 million to carry his child.
Wow.
But is that sexual harassment, though?
No, it's not sexual harassment. That sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
I'll do it. I'm doing it.
Right now. See, that's...
I would consider that. Somebody offered me $5 million.
I feel discriminated against because I can't do that. I can't be paid $5 million to carry somebody's baby. I would totally do that.
Inside your body, yes, but in your arms.
Now, honestly, Pamela, if it were up to you, would you rather have Belle or myself carry your child?
Did you?
Don't even answer that question.
It's a question.
I mean, wow.
I'm just asking a question.
Don't answer that.
Now, I would choose to have no children.
That's a good answer.
Are you okay in there?
You know, I've got the smoker's cough without ever smoking a cigarette.
Yes, you do. But anyway, I mean, this is crazy stuff happening today.
$5 million.
That's what, according to the Associated Press, yeah.
And they're always right. No,
well, I mean,
they're
not always right.
But that, they're pretty accurate.
Yeah,
they're
so don't
somewhat
even,
reputable. So, yeah. $5 million. Now, is that one of the women that came out? Or is this like a third woman? Because we know he was kind of walking around the office just asking about who would carry the his baby, his wife, and all that. All right, well, there you go. Another fine broadcast day. Hopefully by Monday, my voice will be back. Phil Valentine is up next. You can always find me on the Dan Mandy Show Facebook page, Twitter as well. And you can always send me an email, dan@997wtn.com. We'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.